This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's Thursday today, and it is episode 100. Won't be too long here, about a month, and it will be episode 104, which will be 2 years. I will tell you right now that I am not prepared for the topic that I'm about to talk about. I thought it was going to be one thing, and it turned out to be another thing as I was doing a bit of research, and in fact turned out to be a lot deeper and more interesting a discussion than I was prepared for it to be. And frankly, I was actually thinking, wow, 20 minutes, how am I going to fill up 20 minutes with that? But now, I fear that I may not do it justice, but more on that in a moment. It's been a good week. Some frustrations this week. I've been battling my way through learning a product called SharePoint, which is from Microsoft. A lot of good new work has been done in SharePoint, but it is Microsoft, and so there's some things that you just look at and go, what? What? What do you mean that doesn't work that way? But that's okay. You know, we're getting it figured out, getting done what needs to be gotten done. So that's going fine. Everything's going fine with the VaneWorks stand. I actually had a bump in sales last week because Fring was very kind to mention it on their blog. I am still puttering along on my Windows 7 application, learning new things, but I've got the engine going now, and I'm making some refinements and getting reorganized now that I have the engine going to where it's, you know, going to work like I want it to work. So that's all been extremely interesting. I've had some really nice conversations this week with friends. A couple of my friends have been out, but I was actually, had a really nice Saturday morning chat and a Tuesday morning chat, and my Tuesday night had just worked a 16-hour shift, and he was getting ready to work another 16-hour shift on Wednesday, so he wanted to just stay home and rest. I encouraged him to do that. My Wednesday night is actually in Hawaii, so obviously we didn't talk. But I have a new Thursday night that I'm getting together with, and we're having just really nice conversations. And I actually had a Thursday morning. This morning, there's a young man that I get together with fairly irregularly. We get together, every couple of months or so, just kind of touch base and see what's going on. But had a really nice breakfast with him this morning. So it's been a good week. It's been a good, good week. I've been continuing to record my little Good Morning Clara stuff. And Sunday, I actually did a quick recording, Good Morning Clara, because Clara, my granddaughter, is now crawling. She doesn't quite have it all down yet, but she is moving forward as opposed to just moving backwards, and she is just delightful. We have the wonderful privilege of 3 weeks out of the month getting together at various homes, and we were over at my mother-in-law's house on Sunday, and everybody was just oohing and aahing over Clara, and she is just taking it all in. She's just having a delightful time, and we're having a delightful time with her. So it really is wonderful. I actually didn't know until really kind of this morning what I was going to talk about today. I had several kind of things that were rattling around in my head. And this morning, I took a quick sweep through Google News and came across an article. And when I saw it, I thought, oh, I could talk about that. Because all I had to see was the title of the article. And I pretty much knew what it was going to be talking about. And I pretty much had my opinion as to why we have come to this state in the world. And it's sort of dovetailed with something that I just got done talking to a friend about. My Thursday evening, we were talking about life, the universe, and everything. And we got on the subject of Satan and how that a lot of people say, oh, Satan was really after me, and oh, Satan really had me there, Satan this and Satan that. And we got on the topic of that discussion and how it is my opinion, and my friend agreed with me, which is the reason he brought it up. My friend agreed with me that a lot of times we use the idea of Satan simply as a crutch, because then the enemy is out there and we don't look for the internal enemy that is really the core issue. And it's just a cop-out, frankly. We say, oh, Satan's been on me all week. Well, it's not maybe necessarily Satan who's been on you, because don't take this wrong, but frankly, you're probably not important enough for Satan to be on you every week, all week. Really, what's been happening is your flesh has been riding you and making you think it's Satan, so you'll continually look outside as opposed to dealing with what you need to deal with internally. But in the course of that conversation with my buddy, we recounted and recalled again the fact that we really face three enemies in this life. I do believe in a physical entity called Satan. I don't believe he is all-powerful. I do believe he has a certain number of minions at his command that we call demons. But I don't believe their number is infinite. And I don't believe their number is 7 billion. So basically, I don't believe that there are enough demons to have one demon per person on planet Earth. I think there are sometimes when people get under an oppression from the enemy where things just, everything seems to rain down them at the same time. But I think for the most part, the torment in our lives is caused by the world, and it's caused by the flesh, and it is primarily caused by the flesh, that enemy that we live with within, that enemy that is a part of us. And we've talked about the flesh enough, and we will be talking about the flesh more, because I think it's a critical and core concept that we have to, and I was talking to my friend about this tonight as well, we have to recognize the influence of the flesh in our life, and more than just recognize its influence, we have to act to blunt its influence, or it will continually create an environment of failure for us. But there is another enemy, and we need to recognize it as well. And that other enemy is the world. The world is a collection of flesh. And its job, just like the flesh's job, is to convince us that reality is other than it is, and that success in reality is other than it is. And so what you find in the activities of the world is a consistent pandering to fleshly attitudes, to fleshly activities, to focus on pleasure, to focus on the immediate, not the long term, to make a quick buck no matter what it does to your neighbor. All these things continually manifest themselves. And if we spend any time analyzing any product that comes out of the world, while there may be some very interesting and good things about it, and the flesh, the spirit within people and that creativity that comes from the spark of God can manifest through those things, there is still a core in there that is flesh and that taints it. And what we need to learn to do is just separate the two and say, wow, that singer is really talented, wow, that singer is really devoted to his or her work and has done an amazing job in terms of discipline and training and creative effort, but the message that they might be putting out might not be the best message. And we should just be able to divide those two things and appreciate the person for their talents and capabilities. Anyways, that's how we deal with the world. The title of the article, and I didn't know this at the time, but apparently it was written by somebody and published in the Wall Street Journal. The title of the article was, "Where Have All the Good Men Gone?" And she was writing a lament that apparently is the same kind of lament that many young women have at this point. That the men that they occasionally hook up with and that the men that surround them are really post-adolescent, pre-adulthood boy men, men boys, whatever. That they are not making the traditional transition that men in our society have made. Of getting a good job, settling down, having a family, yada, yada, yada. And I'm reading, I was just reading through this article, and normally I would have made notes on all this stuff so that I would have the notes so I'd get to the high points of it. But the article went pretty much as I was expecting it to go. With exception of the author's, one of her main conclusions is, well, the reason that this is happening in our society is that women have achieved a certain equality, and really women are the first gender when it comes to achieving, because more of them graduate from college, you know, they're more in the professional workforce and those kind of things. And where that used to be the men's domain, now because women are becoming so successful, then men are less likely to, you know, take on that role. And I thought, well, okay, that's an interesting viewpoint. But I actually have a little different viewpoint. And it comes from two different perspectives. The first perspective is that the world exists to lie to us about reality. And we, as individuals, tend to encourage those lies from the world because our flesh latches onto those lies that it sees manifested in the world. And it says, oh, yeah, that's right, that's right, that's funny, yeah, that's true, oh, yeah, that's the way life should be. For instance, if you go back to the early days of television, what you found was a whole series of shows about family units. Or even if they weren't about family units, you had a show that portrayed its main characters in much more of a traditional family unit way. You've got the My Three Sons. You've got the Dick Van Dyke Show, where you have a man who is married, holding down a job. They have a son. You know, My Three Sons, this man is taking care of his three sons. You've got Andy Griffin. Andy Griffin's wife is dead, but he's taking care of his son. And Aunt Bee is very much of a traditional unit where the man is the protector, the man is the provider, and the man is engaged with his children. Then you start having the rise of sitcoms. And one of the key characteristics of sitcoms, of this product that the world puts out, and has been a key characteristic of sitcoms for years and years and years, is that if there is any kind of family structure, the man slash the men are buffoons. They're just out there doing what they want to do. Oh, maybe they have a job and stuff, but, you know, they're always, when they get home, they're just sitting in front of the TV, and they're always making wisecracks and this kind of stuff. And the only person who's, like, serious about the family, serious about the protection of the home and all that kind of stuff, is the wife. That is what has been pushed in the traditional sitcom for years and years and years and years and years. That the male of the household is an idiot. Is really a man-child. And has never grown up. And this has been pushed for decades. This is not something that just showed up yesterday. And so, when I read the title of this article, Where Have All the Good Men Gone? I thought, well, what's been happening with the advent of television, in part, what's been happening with the advent of television, is the creation of a lie about life, that men are buffoons, that they're children, that they don't really get life, and this has been the model that has been portrayed to at least two, if not three, generations of men coming up. And what is always portrayed is the guy has a beautiful wife who might be frustrated and mad with him, but eventually they make up at the end of the show and everything's all kissy kissy huggy huggy. And for most of the show, the guy gets to act like an idiot and gets whatever he wants. Well, if you're going to feed men a constant diet of that, guess what? They're going to start reflecting those attitudes. In addition to the fact, men have not only been portrayed that way, they've been portrayed as simply wanting to have sex all the time with any woman that comes along, and many times, more than not, they get it, okay? So what we have portrayed in our society is these men who do not take real responsibility for their families, and we have portrayed in our society that the fun and the joy and all that kind of stuff is out there being promiscuous. Now then, what's interesting about all this is that most of the people who are writing these scripts are men. Even though women do write some of these, but the vast majority of the people who are writing these scripts are men. Couple that with the sexual revolution, where all of a sudden, it was free love for everybody all the time. Okay. So we have had decades of men being exposed to these attitudes of, why should you take responsibility? You can just be an idiot. You're still going to get a gorgeous woman who's going to love you just for who you are. And why should you restrain yourself sexually? Because you could go out and just have free love and free sex. And oh, by the way, there are some women out there who have been convinced that that's what they should do as well. And so they'll just hook up with you. Having said all that, let us return to a core concept that I have talked about over and over and over. And that is the flesh uses two basic gender-specific lies when it tries to convince us about the true nature of the relationship between a man and a woman. The lie that the flesh purports to men, I'm getting my mail, one moment, is that women exist solely to be tools to help a man control his sperm count. And the lie that the flesh purports to women is that men exist solely to be providers and protectors for them so that they can nest and have children. Neither of those lies is correct. But those are the two basic gender-specific lives. Men use women for sex. Women use men for protection and for provision. So this is what happens. Here's the result of this. And we've had this wonderful medium called television, where television was not content. I'm backing into my garage. Television was not content. I'm talking up louder so you can hear me. Television was not content to simply show us whole family units, because that was not nearly as attractive to the flesh as portraying something that was more in line with the lie that the flesh would seek to tell us about the world, i.e. men should be promiscuous and just run around all they want on everyone. And so in order to get more viewers, television moves towards that which is more appealing to the flesh. So you've got that whole track going. Then at the same time, in the 60s, we get this, we want to be liberated, and we want to just have sexual freedom and do whatever we want. In addition to the feminist movement that comes along and says, well, we don't need men to protect us. You know, we don't want to just be at home all the time. We want to be out in the workforce, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. We want to be out in the workforce. Okay, that's great. And we'll just sleep with whomever we feel like sleeping with because that's our freedom. Okay, well, that's fine. So when it comes to the two basic lies, then, what you end up with is men getting to live in the lie because they can go out and hook up with women and they can do what they want to do, when they want to do, play video games, get drunk, do whatever they want to do. And that behavior simply reinforces that lie that women exist as a tool to help me control my sperm count. But on the flip side, none of that encourages a man to want to be a provider and a protector. And so women end up losing out on this deal. If they're willing to go around and hook up with all these guys and stuff, the guy has what he wants. Why should he become an adult? And it was interesting because I had pretty much processed through all of this just reading the title of the article. It is a big, long article, but by the time the author of the article got down to the end of the article, she actually started talking about the fact that men, young men, are no longer embracing their roles as providers and protectors because they've got everything they want and there's really nothing that's going to push them into doing anything else. They've got their video games, they've got their friends, they've got their alcohol, they can hook up with women anytime that they want to. Why should they strap themselves down with the responsibilities of a family and a house and all that kind of stuff? Why should they do that? I just find this all just extremely fascinating. You know, that women are saying, well, where have all the good men gone? Well, what we've done is, first of all, our society and the world has created an environment that is conducive to creating men, boys, boy men, pre-adults, whatever you want to call them, that don't see any need to grow up. And second of all, in women deciding that they were going to be sexually liberated and do what they wanted, ended up weakening the deal that had gone on for thousands of years. And I'm not saying the deal is right. I'm just saying it is what it was, because the deal for thousands of years was men use love to get sex, and women use sex to get love. And so it used to be that in order for a man to get what he wanted, he had to be willing to settle down on a consistent basis, settle down and be the provider and the protector so he could get what he wanted, because women, not a vast majority of women, were not willing to just put it out there in their sexually liberated state. They weren't just willing to put it out there. They expected to get a ring on their finger. All the single ladies, put your hands up, expected to get a ring on their finger and wanted more than just one night stands. And so it's just fascinating to see how things work out. Because all this stuff that was supposed to bring so much liberation in our lives does nothing but turn things upside down, and we lose. We lose this amazing core of strength and discipline that used to be the male species. You know, the guys who were the greatest generation who went over and did what needed to be done. It'd be really interesting to see what would happen with this whole generation of men. Now, I realize not all young men are this way. I know many, many fine, disciplined, wonderful young men. I know that. But we have a whole crop of guys coming up. Some even married. Really, they don't see any need to provide for their families or to, you know, they just gonna go and enjoy themselves and play their video games and drink when they want and have sex when they want, and they got what they want. And on the other side, you still have women that, even though they're earning their own money and occasionally having fleeting sexual encounters, their side of the equation is not being met because they're still hoping that within that environment, they're going to magically find someone who's willing to settle down and start a life with them. But when you upset the whole apple cart, things don't always work out like you were expecting. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.